As we walk out the journey of life, we each begin to thirst for something more. We want more than just life the way we know it. It's a thirst for more peace, more fulfillment, more purpose. That was God's plan all along. Since the ancient times, He has made promises that He will quench that thirst. And the promises He made long ago are the same promises He has made for us today.
All righty, good stuff, right? Good stuff. Let me, that's all right. Yeah, you want to endorse what's happening around here? That's awesome. Let me just highlight one thing there in the announcement video, and that is the opportunity that we have on Mother's Day for the Ronald McDonald House. One of the things that we as a church are determined to do, and that is make a difference. We want to make a difference. I'm not interested in pastoring a church that we just come in and get ours and go home and that's the end of it. I believe that God gives us what He gives us so that we can be a blessing, so that we can make a difference in this world. And so I mentioned to you as we were embarking on this opportunity that we are shifting gears. Now, we've kind of been getting kind of regrouped and reoriented as to what we're to do as a church, but at this point in the game, we are really going to be shifting into overdrive, into looking for opportunities outside of our doors to reach out. The Bible actually says, go into the world, right, and preach the gospel. So we want to go out and make a difference. We actually had an opportunity yesterday in our community some involvement in making a difference and doing some landscaping in our community. We're just going to be making a difference everywhere we can find. And so one of the opportunities that presents itself to us now is this opportunity to go into Ronald McDonald House at Mother's Day and offer 30 gift baskets. And so you heard about it in the announcement video, but I just want to make you aware that if you look in your worship guide, if everybody got a worship guide, you'll look in there. There is actually a list that we have made up for you with items that could be used for those gift baskets. And so it's real thin. So a magnet sticks real good to this. So you can take this and put it right on your refrigerator. You know how you put your shopping list on the refrigerator for your groceries? Well, this is your shopping list. And I want to encourage you to utilize this. And also, again, there's information on the website as well. Theron mentioned that you'll go to crosspointworshipcenter.com/missions. But actually, I've just asked him, we'll do this today. We'll have this today. Put on the website as a front page that you can find it real easy. So it'll be right on the front page where you don't even have to navigate through something to get to it, where you can immediately go to and just find this information to avail yourself of it. And if you want further details, I encourage you to see Jennifer and Craig Chadwick. Did I say that right? Help me, y'all. Craig and Jennifer Chadwick. And they'll just tell you some of the details and how you can be involved in this. We'd love for everybody to be involved in this at some level and making a difference in blessing some mothers who have children that are in critical condition. And so they're having a hard time. They're, you know, by themselves at times, long hours a day, just spending life between hospital and the Ronald McDonald House. So thank you for making a difference in that area. Everybody going to help us with that? Yeah. And, you know, that's going to bless some mothers, but I'll tell you, it's about those children, too. And our church is in the process of renovating. I'll just tag this on the end, renovating a place for our children where people can come in and get their kids connected in just a relative way, a way that relates to them. And so if you want to be involved in that project, guess what? See Craig Chadwick on that one too, and he's helping us kind of spearhead some changes next door in our facility next door, and we're going to modernize it. It's going to look something like this, maybe, you know, wouldn't that be cool? And so that kids can come in, have an environment where they can just really connect with God. That's what it's all about, right, everybody? And so just want to throw that out there before we jump into the message. But let's do that. Let's jump right into this message, part five of this series. Four cups. You can use your message notes there that are also there in your worship guide to follow along with us today. But let me just kind of orient you. If you haven't been a part of all of this entire series, missed some of it, let me just give you kind of a brief orientation. We're talking about the fact that there, in our experience of communion, we are used to having one cup and bread that we observe. But actually, in Jewish culture and in the original Passover Seder, there were actually four cups that were based upon four I wills from a verse in Scripture where God gave to Moses to speak to his children of Israel and how that they were to observe Passover and how God delivered them out of the bondage of the Egyptians. And so the goal of this series is that we're all on a spiritual journey. And by the way, you're on a spiritual journey whether you realize it or not, because you are a spiritual being. You're not just flesh and blood. You're a spiritual being, and you're going to spend eternity somewhere. We're on a spiritual journey. And so the hope is to identify, help you to identify where you are in that spiritual journey, and then to get you moving, because we believe that God just doesn't, you know, want to just save you and that's the end of it. But I believe that there is a journey for us to be taking, and there is more. Everybody say more. There's more for us ahead. There's more in this journey. There's more to this life that God wants you to experience. And so in that first week, we looked at, you know, 3,500 years ago, there were these promises that God gave us. And the sad thing is that few of us know what those promises are or even pursuing those promises. And many have only maybe experienced half of those. And so we want to help take you on that journey. So week one, we looked at that. And then in the second week, we looked at this Passover and the truth, why it's tucked inside of this Passover observance, and how we discovered on Palm Sunday that Christ is our Passover lamb. And the fact is that only through Jesus Christ can you have any of these promises fulfilled in your life. And so none of these promises can be realized outside of a real, genuine relationship with Jesus Christ. And then so on Easter, we started this journey of the four cups and began breaking these down. And we based it again off of this verse. Let me throw this out to you in Exodus chapter 6. There in your message notes, we'll throw up on the screen also, where God says this: "Therefore, say to the Israelites, I am the Lord, and I will bring you out from under the yoke of the Egyptians." So the first thing I've got to do is I've just got to get you out of that place where you're under this heavy yoke. Nothing for you to do in that process other than just simply believe on me and trust in me, because I'm going to do all the work. And it's very important that we understand that this cup is standalone. There's nothing you can do through works. There's nothing you can do to get you there. It's all a standalone where God does all this by himself. He has the power to save us, and only he has the power to save us and set us free. And so he says, I just got to get you out of there. Then he says, I will free you from being slaves to them. That's what we talked about last week. And so he said, well, I thought I was free when I was set out of that place. But actually, oftentimes, there are issues that we're still dealing with. There's still bondage on the inside. And God's saying, I want to free you up from that. I'm going to set you free. And I encourage you to go back and listen to any of these online if you like. And also, you can get the message notes off of there and catch up with that. Then he goes on to say, and I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. We're going to talk about that today and those two ways that he redeems us. And then the last thing, this is next week, I will take you as my own people, and I will be your God. And then he says, then you will know. And I could say this, then and only then will you know that I am the Lord your God who brought you out of from under the yoke of the Egyptians. And so what he's saying there, then and only then, put it this way, will you understand what this thing is really all about. Only then will you understand what this thing, Christianity, is all about. We're going to take you through that next week. It's going to be an exciting one next week. But look with me at your message notes, and let me give you some one-word descriptions for these four cups, just to kind of make sure, get these down real pat. Number one, and that is the cup of sanctification. Sanctification means just to set you apart. The word there would be salvation, salvation. And again, it's very important we understand it's a stand-alone. It's probably the easiest thing you'll ever do, but it will cost you everything, okay? And so there's that moment. It happens in a moment. In a moment when you believe on Jesus, when you believe in your heart and you confess him as Lord of your life, in a moment you have drunk from that cup of salvation. But then the next cup is the cup of deliverance, and the word there is freedom. And so While that first one is standalone and it's done in a moment, and God didn't want that mixed with anything. He didn't want anything where we could say, well, yeah, but I had something to do with that first cup, and it was because I did this or that. No, it's nothing that we did. It's everything that he did. But now that we have partaken of that first cup, the second cup actually does involve us, and it is a process. And there are some to-dos in there that we need to do. And so there's a process that God takes us through. Unfortunately, studies show that 87% of people are stuck in this cup, and they never get to cup three. And so they're always got issues. Pastor, I just got issues. I got this I'm dealing with. I can't get my head above water. I can't. And I take one step forward. I take two steps back. God, I just can't. I'm always just stuck in my issues. And I'm going to tell you, there's a reason why the enemy wants to have you stuck there, because there's more that God wants you to discover for your life and understand what this thing is all about. And so it leads us to the cup of redemption. And that word would be restoration. Restoration. And so, and that's what we're going to talk about today, and how that God wants to restore us. He's getting us out. He wants our heart changed, and then get us back to the original intent of God's plan for us, which that's what I want to get today. God has a plan for our life, and God wants to reveal that. And then the next cup will be next week, and that's the cup of praise, and the word there would be fulfillment. And so if you're not living a fulfilled life, then you're not experiencing all God has for you. And I'm not saying everything's going right and perfect. And that's what I'm saying. But in spite of those things, there is fulfillment in your life. And so we're going to talk about that next week. And so it's my honor as your pastor, as your shepherd, as your tour guide, to take you on this journey to discover all that God has for you. And so and understand how everything begins to change. And that's my hope. That's what I love to do, is to see people's lives change, where they discover the life that Jesus came to give us. He said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it to the fullest. And so that's what this thing is all about. You know, we heard some testimonies on Easter, and it reminded me why we're still doing what we're doing and what this thing is all about. You know, there's nothing more fulfilling than seeing lives change. And so let's jump into cup three. And let's look again at Exodus chapter 6, verse 6. He says this. He says, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. Now, oftentimes we hear the word redeem and we don't really understand what certain words mean. So let me give you a simple definition. It's from Webster's. And the first definition, it means to buy back. To buy back. And so, or to purchase. Repurchase. So we're created by God, and then as we're created by God, we're his creation. That's all of us. Say all of us have went our own way, and we were then owned by someone else, and that led us to a dark and crazy, lifeless place. And God goes to that place and buys us back. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? It's like we're at a flea market, right? And we're just old and cruddy and nasty and just nothing to be desired of us. And Jesus walks in and says, I'll take that. I'll take him. I'll take her. And he says, how much will it cost? And the owner then says, it'll cost you everything. And Jesus says, okay, I'm willing. I'll give my everything for it. I mean, that's us, right? Isn't that great? Come on, that's a good place. Praise God right there, okay? I mean, he steps in the scene, and everything changes. And second definition, then, is to change for the better. Second definition of redeem is to change for the better, or to reform. And so he changes for the better. So let me just say this. Too many of us have set goals that are way too low for our life. In other words, we think good life would be just eliminate the bad, just no bad. No bad is the definition of having a good life. If I could just get rid of these problems, then my life would be good. Can I tell you that God wants so much more for you than just no good? He wants better for you, right? There is a better life that you can have. And so then there's a third definition, and that's repair or restore. And so restore. Why do we call it restore? Well, think about an old junky car that's sitting in a junkyard, and it's corroded, and it's broken down, and it's not good for anything. It can't even drive it. And you go in, somebody goes in and takes that car and restores it and replaces things and polishes up things and renews things so that now that car is now driving down the road, and it is priceless. I mean, it's back to its original intent. So that's what God wants to do for us. And so think about this. He wants to buy us back. He wants to make us better. He wants to reform us. He wants to repair us. He wants to restore us. And you can say, so then why would not anybody want that process, that to happen in their life? And so then why do so few drink from this cup? And the answer is found in the promise itself. Look at it with me again in Exodus chapter 6 and verse 6. I will redeem you, he says, with an outstretched arm and with mighty acts of judgment. So the first thing he says is, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm. So God reaches out. You can picture this, reaching out. There was a guy, one of my favorite songs growing up in church was this older guy who would sing this song when he reached down his hand for me. Has anybody ever heard that old song? And a couple of you have. And he would get by the pulpit and he would say, when he reached way down for me. You know, I'm just, and he had to reach way down when he reached. Why is it God had to reach way down for us? Well, most of us are in a place much lower than God sees us, okay? There's a deep, deep place. Here's the way the psalmist said it, that he reached down in the miry clay and he lifted me up and he set my feet on a solid rock. I want to tell you, God reaches down to lift us up. And so most of us don't see ourselves the way God sees us. We see ourselves low and broken and nothing here for you to work with, God. And God looks down and he says, no, I'm going to reach down and I'm going to redeem you and I'm going to make you great. And so he reaches down to restore us. And so we have this, here's what I want you to see, get this word. We have this sense of inferiority. That's your blank there. Fill that in. We have this sense of inferiority. And so we don't see the greatness that God sees in us. You know, one person would say, well, you know, we're just wretched and we're miserable and we're pitiful and we're just awful sinners. True. Until God lifts us up. And then God doesn't want us to see ourselves like that. You follow me? In and of ourselves, yes, we're all wretched and naked and miserable and poor and we're in a bad place and we're in need of a Savior. But guess what? The Savior has come. He has come to set us free. He's come to set the captives free. He's come to put on of his clothes a robe of righteousness, right? So oftentimes we see ourselves still as before Christ, but we need to see ourselves after Christ and in Christ. How's that for preaching, all right? That's where we need to see ourselves. And we have this inferiority complex. And so we don't see the greatness that God sees in us. But check it out. God doesn't want you to maintain that view. He doesn't want you to maintain that view. Look at Psalm 18 and 35. He says, I'll stoop down and make you great. He stoops down and he says, that's worth redeeming. Now, that's a mystery to me how he sees that in us. But somehow our God looks down and says, that's worth sending my son on the cross to die for them. I'll stoop down to lift them up, to make them great. Amen? I mean, that's just awesome. And so he sees greatness in us, and he lifts us up. And so many live at the mercy, though, of this inferiority thing. This at the mercy of what do other people think about me mentality. I don't measure up in their eyes. And so we're prisoners of this. And so we live with oftentimes the shame of our past. And we still see things through, see ourselves through the rearview mirror, right? Not by what God, but how God sees us. And so, and what God wants us to see is not what happened in the past, but what God has redeemed us to become. Amen? And so it's by what God wants to do, but And it's not about the past. And oftentimes that plagues us. It plagues us that, you know, what do people think about me? Well, look at my past. Because of my past, I can no longer attain to the place that I believe that God would want me to. If I hadn't messed up and done that stupid, crazy thing back then I couldn't. Then perhaps I could have stepped in. Let me tell you something. God doesn't choose perfect people. He chooses messed up people. That's who he specializes in, to show himself strong, that it's not about you, it's about him. So I don't care how much you've messed up or how far you're going or how low you've been. I want to tell you, God comes to redeem you and give you a new name. And Jesus says, I'll make all things new. All things new. Amen. I'm about to get happy and preach here. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If you went on to read the next verse, says that he didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He never came to condemn. That's what the devil does. He comes to always condemn, always get in your ear, always telling you all the things that you can't do because of and who you are, and accuses you. He's a condemner. He comes to condemn. Condemnation says you're a mess and there's no way out. But conviction, that's what God comes to bring. Conviction comes and says you're a mess and here's the way out. There's a big difference. Amen? And so, I mean, it's huge. We need to get a hold of this morning. We need to get a hold of this as an individual, but we need to get a hold of this as a church. I need a good amen from the church right there, right? Doesn't matter what the past is. God's going to write a new thing. I tweeted this week the verse that, behold, I do a new thing. Y'all laughing because your pastor's tweeting. I know. Look, I'm trying, okay? Look, God said, I'm going to do a new thing, and then he says, show you not see it. You can't see it oftentimes because you're blinded by your past or, well, this is who I am. No, God says, I'm going to do a new thing. I'll make a way in the river wilderness and in rivers in the desert, right? And so, I mean, let me give you a little illustration here. Guy walks into a pet store and parrot, little talking parrots over there. And the parrot sees the guy walking in the store and he says, hey, you. And the guy says, you talking to me? Yeah. Come over here. He walks over to the parrot, and the parrot looks at him. He says, yeah. He says, what do you want? And he says, you're the ugliest thing I've ever seen in my whole life. And the man's like, what? He goes up to the manager, and he tells the manager, he says, hey, he said, your parrot just insulted me. And so the manager went up to the parrot and said, hey, you can't be talking to customers that way. Started slapping him outside the beak and pulled a few feathers out, you know, and the parrot's like. So about a month goes by and the man comes back in the store. Same man comes back in the store. There's that parrot again. The parrot looks over and says, hey, you. He says, what? Who, me? Yeah, you. He comes over and says, what do you want? The parrot looks at him and says, you know what? God, tell you, that's kind of what the devil does to us. You know what? You know what you did last year. You know what you did in your past. You know what you did last week. He just gets up and messes with you. Come on, that's it. Come on, that's funny. I don't care what you say, right? And here's how it plays out. You come to church. You're ready to worship God. Ready to go all in. Ready to give him your best, right? And then enemy comes up to you and says, you know what? You know what you did last week. And so the hands go back in the pocket. You stay in this inferiority complex that, well, you know, just the spiritual giants can go there. I can't go there. I got things going on and I'm trying to get victory over. And let me tell you something. I've done something in my past. I can never rise above that in my mind. Let me tell you something. God comes to deliver you. He's come to set you free. He's come to redeem you and restore you. That's not who you are. You're not a slave back in Egypt. You're his child. Come on. You're heir to the promises of God. Amen? Man, I just think I'm going to... Right? Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. Look at what it says. The devil wants to keep you in this inferiority place, seeing yourself different than how God sees you. But look at what Ephesians 2 says. For we are God's masterpiece. Masterpiece? I'm a masterpiece? Yeah, you're a masterpiece. You're a masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he has planned for us long ago. And that last part's cup 4. That's next week, okay? He says, I've got things for you to do. And look at this. I planned this for you a long time ago. That means before he created you, he had already planned what you're going to do. Isn't that cool? He's got something for you to do. So when he was making you, he made you to do that thing he's already got you to do. I mean, he didn't just make you and say, well, there they are. I wonder what we're going to do with them. You know, maybe I find something for him to do. No, he already planned before what he had for you to do, right? And then he made you accordingly, right? In other words, he's got a plan for your life, and it's something great. I mean, I think about this a whole other message. I think about, my mind goes back to Gideon. Remember, Gideon was like just low, hiding out from the enemy in the Old Testament. And then here comes the word of God to him by a messenger saying, calling him a mighty man of valor. And he says, me, I'm the least, and my family's the least, and I'm the least in my family. I'm the least of the least. I'm a nobody. I don't know who you're not talking to me. And God called him a mighty man of valor because he saw what he was going to do in him and through him. Right? That's you today. That's you today. Right? So how do you see yourself? I heard of two brothers that were quarreling, and the father comes in to the older son, thinking he'll get him to man up. He's the older one. He'll like, you know, these kids were like fighting each other, and he says, "Look, bro, what's going on with you? Why is it that you were at odds with your brother so much?" And the older brother said, "Well, I just don't see anything good in him." I mean, I just don't see it. I don't find a thing about him I like. I don't like him. I just don't like him. And the father said, look, I don't care if you don't like him. I like him. And he's staying. And what I suggest to you is that you see him how I see him in order for you to stay. Because I got some things you might want. I know I do. And so, and guess what? That's what we're called to do. We're called not to see people how we see them. We're called to see people how God sees them. We did, you remember the series we did last summer on honor? We talked about that. How that, you know, we're to begin where God begins and see people through God's eyes and how God sees them. That's how we honor them, not how we necessarily see them. And so we need to treat people that way, the way that God sees them, right? And so look at that. That parrot is always saying, you know what? But God reaches down. He sees greatness. He sees something in us. Exodus 6 and 6 again. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm with mighty acts of judgment. So he reaches out his arm. But then the second part of that is with mighty acts of judgment. Well, who's he judging? Is it against you? No. No, that is reserved for the enemy of your soul, the devil. Why? Because the devil has a plan for your life as well. Right? Do you know how he keeps you from being redeemed? It's from fulfilling the will of God's plan in your life. That's how. So that's why 87% of the body have never tasted this cup. Because the enemy has offered another plan. And so we get stuck in our issues, right? And so that keeps us from enjoying this cup. We get stuck in inferiority, get stuck in these issues and the problems we have. But then another way is that the enemy just diverts us. We run up against an obstacle and we say, well, I'll just go a different way. And we alter our path according different from God's plan. And so that's called diversion. Diversion. That's in your notes there. Diversion. And so that part of our life that we were pretty sure God didn't plan, but we lived it out anyway, and that's probably true. And we know that the Bible says all the days of man are written in his book, and we're thinking to ourselves, there's no way that God write this part of my life, and you would be right. What you've experienced is diversion, and who authored that part, who authored diversion, and that would be the devil. That's why God judges the devil, and listen to this, he wants to cancel his plan off of your life in order for you to be redeemed. Let me say that again. He wants to cancel the plan of the devil off of your life in order for you to be redeemed. You can be, get this, you can be diverted by good things or bad things. Tragedy, pain, hurt, wounds, offenses, all those things can get you off track. But can I also tell you that success can even get you off track where you're focused on the wrong thing, on your career, or you find yourself, you've been focusing in that area of your life, and now you're trying to obtain things, and you're covered up with debt, and you're trapped where you feel like there's no way out, and I could never fulfill now what God's will is for my life. And can I tell you, by the way, that's a lie, because that's not true, because God provides a way out in every situation. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We wanted very much to come to you, and I, Paul, tried again and again, but Satan perverted us. That word perverted in the Greek is ikakta, which means to impede one's progress by putting something in the way. And so you're a believer. Satan can't touch this, right? But what he does, he touches your path. One translation says he cuts a ditch in your road. So instead of letting God cause you to overcome that thing, instead you say, well, let me just try a different path. And so you say, well, then what can we do about this? Look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God, who are called according to His purpose for them, His plan for their life. And so let me put it to you this way. God can take any path you've taken and turn it around and get you where you need to be. There's a way that you can drive from here to Wilmington, North Carolina. Okay? Now, if you went from here and instead of going straight to Wilmington, you went from here to Atlanta, that's probably not the best route to get to Wilmington. But if you find yourself in Atlanta saying, how in the world do I get out of Atlanta and get to where I'm supposed to be? Guess what? There is a road that you can take to get you out of Atlanta and get you to Wilmington. God will make a way. He will make a road. He will make a path where there needs to be a path to get you from where you are to where He wants you to be. There is a way out, everybody. Come on, somebody give God praise for that this morning. You don't believe it? Let me give you a verse. It's found in Romans chapter 11, verse 12. God's gifts and calls are under full warranty, never canceled, and never rescinded. That's a good verse. You can shout for that one too if you like. The King James puts it this way, the call of God is without repentance, meaning that God never changes His mind about you. Look at my eyes for a moment here. God never changes His mind about you. No matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter how deep you are, how low you are, how messed up you are, God has never changed His mind about you. No matter what the enemy has thrown in your path, God has never changed His mind about you. He still loves you. He's for you. He's not against you. He'll move all of heaven for you. Amen. I don't know about you, but that excites me. Regardless of what you've done, God has never changed His mind about you. Now, people, you may make bad decisions, and people will say, well, I'm done with you. I'm done with you. But God's never done with you. He's never done with you. Powerful. So how do we drink from this cup of redemption? Let me give you some three steps real quickly of how you can drink from this cup. But the first thing that we've got to do is we need to embrace a word that some of you may not care for, whatever, but it's called gifts. Romans chapter 12, verse 6 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given us. Now, that word grace in the Greek is the word charis. It's where we get the word charismatic. And I don't know what you think of that word charismatic, but it's oftentimes been hijacked and turned into something else and perverted. But let me tell you something. It actually is something that's very real in the life of a believer. And that is this divine ability, this divine enablement. It's a grace gift that God gives to us. It's where God designs you and puts something in you where that thing that you're doing is very easy for you to do. You have a grace to do it. You are good at it. You have a charis. You have a gift that God's put inside of you, and it's easy for you to do. Like, for instance, I like to talk. All you that know me can go ahead and laugh. I like to talk, okay? I have this gift and I like to get up and just, you know, and share and communicate. Now, if you My wife does not have that gift, okay, as far as, I mean, that kind of balances us out. And I know most of you are thinking, I thought it was a woman that talked a lot. No, not in my house. Sorry, exception to the rule. If I said, Kim, come up here right now and share with us, she would look at me and give me the look. Okay, that's not her gift, okay? But she's good in her gifts. She's more good one-on-one. She's good being that personal, real person. So she has a gift in that area, right? I told her one time she's writing cards. I said, that's a gift. I mean, some of you are good with children, would be good helping Taylor in our children's ministry right now, and because you have a gift for that. You love kids. I heard of someone that they got involved with kids that didn't know they loved them so much, and they got involved in that. And they said, oh, my goodness, I'm having the time of my life sharing the gospel with these children. Some of you would not be good with children. Some of you would have them duct taped, you know, to a wall or somewhere, saying, I don't like that one. I like mine, but I don't like that one. God's given me love for mine, but not yours. That, you know, but some of you have a gift for certain things. That's charis. That's this thing we're talking about, gifts. Some of you, you know, have a gift to want to help the poor. Some of you have the gift of singing. Some of you have the gift of greeting. I would love to, if I wasn't doing this, I'd be back there greeting, man. I just want to talk to people, you know, and just, you know, talk and listen. Okay. And so, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 1 says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts. So this is something we are supposed to desire. And so as a pastor, that's what my job really is, and I find joy in, is helping people discover this. So instead of it just being, God, you know, pastor, help me get through this one more issue. Guess what? Once you get rid of one problem, you're going to have another problem. You'll never get rid of your problems. Come on, new level, new devil. I mean, you know, problems are going to come, problems are going to go. Life's going to have problems. How do we overcome all that? Look, because here's the thing. You need something bigger than your problems. You need something bigger to live for, so that when you lay your head down at night, you may still have some problems, but you're thinking, oh, this is what really life is all about. So everything changes. So as a pastor, my responsibility is to help you discover how to drink from this cup and to step into this place where you can understand why in the world I'm on this planet in the first place. Let me give you three steps. Number one is discover. Discover your gift. And so we need to discover how we're made. And we've got a process here. We'll talk about that in a moment. To help you discover how God made you. And here's the thing. Your design will reveal your destiny. God had something for you to do first, then he made you, and he made you with that thing in mind. Look at Psalm 139 that says, you made all my delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. And we are complex, okay? Right? Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it, that you've done this all inside of me. There's something going on inside of me. But if we understand the way God's made us on the inside, it reveals something about our destiny. In fact, you can write that one down if you'd like some more in your notes. Design reveals destiny. Design reveals destiny. And so, but here's the thing I want you to understand, and that is that the key to all this is God. You can go out, you can explore this through education, through career, through different paths, but here's the deal. God wrote the book on your life. God wrote the book on your life. And so in order to understand really what God's intentional purpose is, you need to get close to God. Ephesians 1 puts it this way. It is in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose he is working out in everything and everyone. Don't you love these verses? In Colossians 1, it says this, for everything, absolutely everything, above and below, visible and invisible, everything got started in him and finds its purpose in him. And so once you discover it, there's this process then of developing it. And so, in fact, that's what I believe the real purpose of church and as myself as a pastor is to help take you through this process of discovering what it is and then to develop that. Number two is develop. Develop your gift. Develop your gift. Ephesians spells it out, chapter 4. But to each one of us, grace, there's that gift again, has been given as Christ apportioned it. So different ones, he's got different things he wants us to do. So Christ himself gave apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers. We call that fivefold ministry. To do what? To just preach on Sunday morning, you go home, that's the end of your day? No. Look at this. It gave those to the body to equip his people for works of service. So here at Crosspoint, we have a systematic process that we try to take you through for this very reason. And let me just go through that with you. We call it here the growth track. And it begins on the first Sunday of every month we offer this. It's a membership class. And that may sound real whatever, but what it really is to help you understand why we're in this, what we're doing, what this is all about. It gives you an opportunity to check it out. We call it Church 101. It's offered the first Sunday of each month. The second part of that, we offer the second Sunday of every month, is Essentials 201, because we believe that it's important that you grow in your spiritual health. So you need to be a part of a body. You need to be a part of a family. That's membership. Then the second part is you need to grow healthy, right? You're born right. God puts you in a family. Then you begin to grow. And so we take you through these essentials. That's actually something that you need to go. What's today? Today's 2, right? Today's 2. So today you can go through essentials. You can go through with our Dream Team coordinator, Karen. Wave at everybody. Essentials 201 happens right after church today. We'll feed you today. You don't even have to spend money at a restaurant. You can stay right here, hang out. We just take you through this class as you're eating, and it's awesome. And then the third thing, and that's next week, is Discovery 301. There's this self-discovery. Let's let you help. And that's the one I love the most, where we take you through this process of helping you discover what your gift is, how God has designed you, that you can discover your destiny. That's next week. You need to come back and be a part of that. And then the fourth one is Dream Team 401, to help you understand what your ministry is, what's God called you to do. So now let's get you doing it. Let's find a place where you can serve. Let's get you on the Dream Team. I was sharing with somebody this morning, one way I know that we're on the right track is our Dream Team is growing every Sunday. I mean, we're just growing. We added another new member to our Dream Team this Sunday. And so in the mornings when we have a Dream Team huddle, it's growing. Because, look, there's more people taking this journey and understanding, look, I need to be on a team making a difference. We'll talk more about that next week. But here's the thing. Here's the ultimate way to live your life is this, number 3, and that's use your gift. Use your gift. So that when you lay down your head at night, there may be problems in your life, but you look around and you know how you're living your life, and you say, this is what life is really all about. Look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 says, God has given gifts to each of you from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Manage them so that God's generosity can flow, I love this, through you. And so I just want to honor our Dream Team and just say, good job. Good job. You're doing a great job, and you are making a difference. And I have a word for you today, and it is from Hebrews chapter 6. It says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you have shown for him as you have helped his people and continue to help them. That's your word for today, Dream Team. Let me tell you what God's ultimate expression of worship is. It's not just at home reading the Bible and praying, and that's good and God loves that. But can I tell you what I believe he loves the most? Is when you express love to people on his behalf. That's worship. And I think he gets a kick out of it. When we express love on his behalf, I believe that's worship. And so write this final point down and then we're going to pray. And that's this. My purpose is to serve God by serving others. Would you bow your heads with me? Lord, I just thank you for allowing us to drink from this cup of redemption. God, I believe you want to stoop down and make us great. And so I pray for every person with an inferiority complex. I pray for every person who's listening to the devil who says, you know what? God, I'm asking you to set them free. Let them see themselves as the masterpiece that you see them as. And God, I thank you for judging the devil's plan and for turning that bad route around for good. And God, you're going to help us get from wherever we have been diverted back to your plan for good. Fulfill that, I pray. In the mighty name of Jesus. My heads are bowed and eyes are still closed. For some of you, you need that first cup, because you can't have any of this until you're in a relationship with Jesus, until you're close from God. And I don't know what you think salvation is. It's not about joining a church. Salvation is when you are reunited with God, when you're close. Ephesians says that God came to destroy the barrier between you and Him. He wants to get close to you. And so the question would be, are you far from God? Do you feel like He's a million miles away? I believe God wants to make you near. And so for those of you that want to take the next step and get close to God and the one who wrote the book on your life, I'd like to lead you in a prayer. So that's you today. And it may be that you haven't ever connected to God, or it may be that you need to reconnect to God. You've been diverted. No intention of your own, but somehow or other you've been diverted. You're somewhere else than where he would want you to be. And I'm not talking about just geographically. I'm just talking about spiritually. I want to lead you in a prayer. And so our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. We're not going to have you stand or come to the front. But I'd like to just help you with some words and lead you right where you're sitting, just between you and God. But before we pray, though, I would like you just to slip up your hand, if that's you. Say, Pastor, when you pray that prayer, would you count me in? God bless you this morning. I'm proud of you. Yes, yes, yes. God bless you. Any others? I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to pray with you right where you're seated. God bless you. You may put your hands down. Right where you're seated, would you just pray this prayer? Just pray, Jesus, save me. Just from your heart to Him. I'm living my own life, and I'm ready to live for you. Come on, tell Him that. So forgive me for going my own way. Today I surrender the control of my life to you. Be my Lord. Take control of my life. Take me on the journey to discover all you have for me. Today, say these words, I give you my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Father, thank you for every person that has invited you into their heart. And I pray, God, that you, O Lord, step by step, guide them to a place of discovering really who you are, what this thing of life is all about. I pray you would fulfill your plan and your purpose in their life. They would move on and go on to discover and receive everything you have for them, Father. God, that you may be glorified in their life. I pray for this church. Help us as a church to discover our purpose anew and afresh. Refocus, God, what you've called us to do. And so our hope, Lord, would be that we lead people to find God, to know God, to find freedom, to discover purpose, and to make a difference. And may you be glorified in it all. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. Come on, everybody give God praise for several that just made the best decision of their life. Amen. Amen. Awesome, awesome, awesome.